This is it a Mother's Day message? Yeah, I think it is. But I think it's more than that. I think it's much more than that. I think this is for moms, for those who have moms, obviously, that are with us. This message is for someone who's a mom and is here today and may not even know it. Let's not leave that category out. That's kind of scary, isn't it? This comes from Isaiah 66 and 13. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Isaiah 66, the prophet Isaiah is giving Israel a message in a time of real trouble, real anxiety, real fear, and giving them something they need to hear. Very important. It's just a couple of verses. It goes like this: "For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." Just by show of hands, you don't have to say what the definition is. How many people know what the definition of the word dandle is? Anyone here? Oh, this is great. It's like, I know something that you don't. This is wonderful. I'm going to just enjoy that for a second. Like, wow, I must be really smart. Or I Googled it, one or the other. I don't know what it is. Let's break it down, shall we? If you're here this morning and you're dealing with fear, anxiety, uncertainty, confusion, you're fretting over things. You have a propensity to fret. You're in the right place this morning. Listen, would you please? Listen to the Word of God. "For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river." You know, we sing that, peace like a river. I guess we sing it. Have we really thought about it? And like, what does a river have to do with peace? I wouldn't connect the river with peace. Right off the bat, I don't guess. So maybe as Leah sang her song this morning, maybe it takes a little meditation to connect the dots between river and peace. Maybe we need to think about that a little bit. That'd be one of those things we would just kind of meditate on and see if we can't find the truth in the statement. To think about that. See, when you're reading your Bible and you come across something, peace like a river, geez, I've seen rivers that are raging, class 5 rapids. Where's peace come in all of that? Think about those things. If you want peace, then think about a river. Close your eyes for a second and think about sitting next to a river. Not a creek, not a crick, not a stream, a river. Imagine yourself sitting next to a river, and let's think about how that river has something to do with peace in your life, shall we? Well, the first thing you notice about a river is that it has a source. And the source is upstream. You don't know what the source is, really. You don't necessarily have to know when you sit next to it, but you know that it exists. You know that there's a source to the river, but you can't see it. You know the river has a history, and by the time it gets to you, you know that it has something previously has happened somewhere at some higher altitude so as to get you to sit there and enjoy what's going to go by and never to be seen again. A river has a source. A river has a lead. A river is fed by something. I get that. And some rain came, trickled down the mountains, a hill of some kind, at a higher place. Some storm came. Some raging thunderstorm, some hurricane came in some area, and it loosed that water on that something upstream there. And that source, that storm actually was, believe it or not, a source of peace. Have you ever had that in your life? You look back on a tumultuous time of scary time, of uncertain time, and it was a storm, no doubt about it, but when you think about it, that storm in retrospect was a blessing. It was a blessing. How does that happen? Well, a river's that way. Sometimes, and I've been at this kairos moment in my own life where where I feel like I'm being jerked through a knot hole. You ever felt that? Like a little hole in the fence, and rather than just meandering and ambling through the gate, someone's just wrenching your whole body through that knot hole. Everything seems to be coming at you at one time. Well, if you want peace, listen, you can't take your eyes off the fact that there is a source to that river. And that river is at a higher altitude than you are. And it comes from a place of a grander perspective. There's a provider out there for that river of peace. Think about that now. And that source, in a spiritual sense, is your leader. It's your ruler. It's your Lord. A river can bring us peace because we know that a creator upstream, a source, a provider, a Jehovah Jireh, has loosed storms out there to provide for what you see in front of you right now, what you're dealing with in front of you right now, what you're looking at when you look at that river, however far it is to cross it, has a source, and that source is the Lord. He created the river for you, and he is your peace. Not only that, I'd say that river itself represents a way to cross over to something else. That river in one way is a sense of peace because you can look back on the river having crossed it, you see. You can cross over to another season, to another something in your life, to another relationship, to a reconciliation. You can cross over to, you can cross over into eternal life, you see, when you cross a river. A river is a source of peace because there is the awareness, the faith, and the recognition that you'll not always be on that side of the river. One time you'll be in eternity. That too brings us peace. I hope it does. In fact, rivers are throughout the Bible and they're in the book of Revelation because of this very thing. They are a source, a visual source of peace. Not only does that river allow you to cross it, but it is a barrier at times to things that will harm you. And this too is important. Sometimes the rivers in our life keep us from dealing with things we're not yet ready to deal with that would only cause us more harm. Oh, and of course the river has a flow. I watch the movie Miracle about the USA hockey team often. I like it. I like the movie. I remember the day I was on the floor in 1980, when they were playing, and I remember the game on there, and I remember taking my attention away from what I was doing and putting it on the television. And I remember in the movie, there's this thing where the coach of the team, he's drawing this play up, and all the players are looking at it, and he's got these X's and O's and arrows, and they're all going like this, and they're looking at it like so confused, and he goes, "And that's what flow is." And they're looking at him like, "I don't even know what you're talking about, dude." But there's a flow to the river of peace. There's a movement to it. There's a carrying. It carries things, and peace comes as we understand that God wants to carry you somewhere. It has a ruler. It's recreational. The river provides transportation, movement, flow, provision, something to eat. Everything you need, that river has for you. There's this Colossians verse, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Rule is to act like an umpire. Can you imagine a baseball game with no umpire? This would be a mess. Top of the first inning, the guy gets up to the plate, and they throw the pitch to him, and the catcher calls a strike. Well, half the crowd is arguing with the catcher. Next one, he calls a ball. The other half's arguing that call. Before you know it, everyone's ejected from the game. They're killing each other on the pitcher's mound. You got to have an umpire in life. And let the peace of Christ, let this river that represents peace, it has to rule in your heart. It has to be an umpire over your heart. If you want peace in life, then you have to submit yourself to the umpire of peace. One who judges these things and one who makes decisions and one who reveals things to you as you meditate on the word and you act upon them. You're not going to have peace without an umpire. You're not going to have peace without transportation, without flow, without provision, without movement, without direction, without a source and a provider. You're not. You think you're going to have it. You're not. For this is what the Lord says, "I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream." What? Why don't you just tell me what you mean? Why the flowery language, you know? Isaiah 59 and 19. Listen to this. You've heard this before. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. This is the way it's typically read when people talk about this verse. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift or raise up a standard against him. I don't believe it's written that way. I believe we got the comma in the wrong place. I believe the verse really should be read this way. When the enemy comes in, stop right there. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. God is interested in blessing abundantly his people like a flood, just overwhelming them with them. When they have the maturity to handle it, yeah, he wants you to have a peace like a river. And when necessary, when you come to a grateful understanding of the source of your peace in your life, and you're mature enough to steward the blessings he's got for you, it'll swell up like a flood. And then he says this, and you will nurse and be carried on her arm. What? I was thinking about this, about moms. I want to talk to you about the motherly aspects of God for a minute. The motherly aspects of God. You will nurse and be carried on her arm. You know this, in the Bible, the right arm of the Lord represents his strength. I was thinking about people in this church, moms actually. Natalie Allison came to mind this morning as I'm driving to church. She's got all those kids running around her. She ought to have strong arms, right? You remember when your kids were little, your grandkids, and you're always picking them up, you're always carrying them, and your back starts to hurt, it aches. This mine's been aching ever since. And your arm, one of your arms takes on more strength than the other. It's like you could pummel an army with one arm after carrying these kids around through the mall and here and there. And they always seem to want to be lifted up when they don't feel like walking, which is often, right? I mean, you end up like you're bowed up. Like one arm has got huge biceps and the other one's kind of withered in comparison. And that's the way God is with you. He carries you with his strong arm. And he's likely carried you even this week, if you didn't even realize it, when you were tired. My wife has this little dog. I think it's a dog, I'm not positive. And the dog's legs are about this long. My legs are longer. So when we go on a walk, for every step I take, the dog takes 20. Right? So we get on a hike. All of a sudden, you know, most dogs, some of you have dogs that pull you, like you don't have to do anything. They just pull you along. This dog is behind, like this, because she's exhausted. And she's learned this coping mechanism. Would not recommend this for yourself. But she fakes like she has to go to the bathroom. It's great. Wait a minute, I have to go to the bathroom. But she doesn't go to the bathroom. She's just trying to get a breather. I'm on to her. So it's like she goes to the bathroom, quote, goes to the bathroom, like over 5,000 times a mile. And I think life is that way sometimes. We fake reasons to stop going so that God can pick us up with his strong arm. You will nurse and be carried on her arm. And dandle on her knees. What is this? And dandle on her knees. Have you ever dandled a child? It's a great word. Such a cool word. My wife, who knows every word in the English language, didn't know dandled. It's great, man. I'm having a banner week. To dandle a child, think 6, 7, 8 months old. You know, they're not walking until 11, 12 months, right? Except some of you overachievers. And you take the child and you take their bare feet, right? You put one on this thigh and one on this thigh, you know, and they got that little baby fat kind of jiggling, you know that? And sometimes babies' heads are bigger than their bodies, so they're kind of like, whoa, they get they're like going everywhere. Well, to dandle is two ways to dandle. You put your arms under their armpits and kind of stabilize them, right? They get their legs kind of here. They've got their sea legs underneath them. And then you just kind of bounce them up and down. And they kind of learn how to get their balance. That's dandling. There's another kind of dandling. You know, the more advanced dandling. It's when you put your fingers out like this and they grab them like a chin-up bar. And they're holding for dear life. They're white-knuckling your index finger, right? And their legs are just kind of here, and you're just like this. Now, they can face out towards the world, or they can face in towards the dandler. Well, I used to do this with Abigail. We'd go like this, and then she'd bounce up and down. She'd love it, blah, blah, blah. And she'd get overconfident, and I'd just try to take, well, then she'd grab my hand back, and we'd do this. And then when we were done, I would take my lips and I'd put them on the base of her neck over here and I'd blow really hard, make a really loud sound, and it would tickle her neck and she'd laugh like crazy, but at the same time she hated it. And then she said, do it again, do it again. That's dandling. And it sounds like, what are you talking about, man? I come over here to hear you talk about dandling, but listen. When you're in a tough spot, tough decisions, dark clouds, a lot of anxiety. When you're in that transition between a young adolescent boy, young adolescent girl, and manhood or womanhood, and you don't know if you have what it takes to do what you think you got called to do, and you're in that transition period, and you're just kind of, you need those two fingers, friend, to hold on to. And you need to get your balance. And I'm learning more and more in life, and the older I get, the younger I need to be, the more like a little tiny baby I need to be, a little boy, that I can put my fat feet on the thighs of my father, and I can bounce up and down and giggle and laugh. And he's got this thing. He's got it. He's got this thing handled. I need to hold on and trust him. And if I go a little to the right or a little to the left, I'm going to hold on to him. I'm going to regain my balance. Everything's going to be okay because I'm going to dandle on the knees of the Father. I'm not going to approach God like he's some ogre, as some of you were taught, some angry curmudgeon who just wants to, some nun who's going to hit you with a stick over your knuckles. I don't know where all that came from. It's not my business. But I can tell you this, he's a dandler. If there's something you can't handle, then let the Lord dandle. That's it. He's a motherly figure. He likes to giggle and laugh and get absorbed in the moment when everything around you is coming at you, coming against you. There's a reason, he says, out of you will flow rivers of living water. What's the reason? Let me remind you this morning, I don't know what you're going through, but that river has a source, a ruler, a creator. And that river was made out of a storm. And in the storm, even the wind and the waves obey him. And that river has a history, and in this kairos moment you're in right now, as that water comes by you, it's going to either be a barrier to moving forward or a means to crossing over. There's going to be a flow to it and a rhythm, an exchange and dialogue with God. There's going to be some ups and downs, even as he bounces you, but you hang on. You hang on. He's got strong arms, and he can pick you up when you can't go any further. And he'll put you down when you need to be on your own, when you need to grow. And you're being jerked through a knothole, that's quite okay, because you got the dandler on the job. It ain't about how sophisticated your walk is and how much Bible knowledge you have. It's about how you can just surrender and trust to hang on to his finger. That's all you need. But don't let go. The temptation will be to let go and to run and to prematurely walk on your own. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't fly away. Don't flee. Don't flee from the body. Resist the devil and he will flee. He will flee. You don't flee. You stay on the lap of the Father. And let him comfort you. This is a message for the macho guy who's self-sufficient, got it all figured out. You don't. You don't until you grab the fingers like a little tiny baby and trust the Father. Then you got it figured out. I sense this morning there's someone here who can't quite get their sea legs to straighten out. Can't seem to get their balance. Can't get oriented the way they need to. Listen, the dandler always finishes dandling with a hug. It's natural. You can't do anything. It's the best way to finish a dandle. An embrace. And usually a giggle. I long for those moments. I miss them. They're pure. They're pure and innocent. And in those moments, you know what else matters in the world? Nothing. Nothing matters. In those moments, what matters is what you're doing right in that second. We have so much anxiety and so much fear in life. It's because we leave the lap and we live in the future. And we miss the beauty of the moment. Moms do that for us. You hurt yourself playing ball and you run into the house, everything's okay. Because mom's got you. Mom's got your sandwich for you. Mom's got a story for you. Mom's got a hug for you. Mom will kiss you on the top of the head. And all that stuff that you left outside just kind of fades and goes away. Well, God's the same way. I don't know your definition of God. Don't cut out the fact he's a dandler. I think one of the most important prayers we can pray at times is, Lord, I don't want to be immature. I'm too much of an adult. I'm just too much of an adult. I got too much on me. Isn't this supposed to be on some level some sort of joyous experience? I think so. Seeing how the fruit of the Spirit is joy and all. It's the last time you laughed so hard it hurt your stomach. It's the last time you... I do this sometimes when I pray. I tell the story of a toddler that hears their father in the living room in the first century and pulls on his beard and crawls up in his lap, gets in that fetal position, grabs onto the beard and holds it like this and just says, Abba, Abba, Daddy. Hug your mom today and thank you for her dandling. And hug the Lord today and thank him for his. You just got to hold on to his finger. It ain't going nowhere. And if he reaches down and puts his lips on your neck and makes an obnoxious sound, just laugh and go with it. I'm dealing with a lot of people in life who are going through storms. And the river's really raging. And it don't appear like it's any kind of source of peace. But when you realize you're okay just the way you are and you've got yourself a ruler and a Lord and a source and a flow and a dandler and a holder, come on, how can you go wrong? To the extent that we keep God from entering our fears and anxieties, we make ourselves Lord. The problem with that is you can hold on to your own finger, but it don't give you much balance. You get all over the place. Sometimes you're going to be looking right into the face of God on his lap. And sometimes you're going to be looking out into the world. Which, whatever way you're facing, listen to me. He's got you. He's got you. The operation, the financial dire straits, the split relationship, the confusion, the sleeplessness, the anxiety attacks, the panic attacks. Maybe you're growing up a little too fast. Let's back her down a little bit. If your God's too small to jog on his lap, make him bigger. Make him bigger. I want to wish my mom a happy Mother's Day. She'll be watching this message next Sunday. And thanks for dandling me. Thanks for bouncing me up and down and making me feel like a little boy who was loved and cared for. Thanks for instilling me a sense of confidence that I had parents who loved me, cared for me, provided for me. And my prayer for you, Mom, is that you dandle as well in the lap of the Lord and hold on to him and never let go, ever, that you might cross over, that you might get in the flow of what he has for you every day. And for my father, who's having difficulty even walking as he's used to walking. That's right, Dad. Hang on to the Lord. Hang on. He'll stabilize you. He'll move you where you need to go. You look into his face. You look into his word. He's going to hold you. He's going to hold you up. It's going to be okay. To comfort means to console, to be compassionate. I think of people like Linda David or Glenda Aiken, we talked about last week, or John and Wynn Cleveland. Oh, my. It's just an ongoing need for dandling out there, is what I'm trying to tell you. Somebody's going to cross your path this week. And you might see it on the outside because they might be really good at it, but on the inside, scared to death. If appropriate, you grab their face and you look right into it and say, God's got you. You hold on. You reach out to him. He wants you giggling, not weeping. He wants you giggling, not fretting. He wants you sleeping, not walking, pacing the floor in the middle of the night. Peace like a river. Tendeth your soul. God's best team and himself are available to you. In any moment, you're overwhelmed. You have access to him by the blood of Christ every moment of every day. And if you're going through anxious times and anxious thoughts and confusing, splitting, confusing, scary things going on in your head, he's available. Jump in the river. Call on his name. Make the fretting the opportunity to interact with the source of the peace in the river. People don't realize this, but if they start looking at their situation differently, when every temptation comes in the sin that so easily entangles you, and every time that temptation comes, it's the actual reminder to call on the name of the Lord and to jump in the river with him and get some peace, then temptations will stop coming. Because if the temptation is rooted in the darkness will pull back. For every time the temptation comes, every time the condemnation comes, every time the fear comes, every time the bitterness comes, every time the judgment comes, you call on the name of the Lord and come near to him in that moment, you'll have less to deal with, believe me. Get in the river. Fear is not a lord. Anxiety is not a lord. Trepidation is not a king. Only if we make it, only if we define it as such, only if we empower it, only if we enlarge it, only if we intensify it, even if we make it potent, then it will be. But it will bow. It will bow to the dandler. Don't have a chance. you're here this morning, you never accepted Jesus Christ. The very thought of being held on to by God in the midst of a storm as he bounces you up and down and plays despite the screaming and the shrieking around you. Well, that's who he is. He comforts you. You don't have to medicate the pain. You don't have to run from the pain. You don't have to escape the pain. You hold on for dear life because he's your source of life. If you never accepted Christ, I don't know what you do. Yeah, I do. I did it. You've never seen God in this light. It's come right out of the Bible, friend. Right here. Right out of the Bible. Come on now. Right out of the Bible. Not the seed of mockers or these knuckleheads you get input from in your life. These scoffers. This come right out of the Bible. God's your dandler. Most people aren't that smart. If you never accepted Christ and you've never seen him in this light, you've never experienced this kind of peace. That's rough, dude. Man, that's rough. That's rough. It ain't a one-time thing, is it? It's an ongoing thing, is it? There's no satisfaction in that. There's no anything redemptive in that. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need him to come in like a flood in your heart, overwhelm your soul. That's what you need. Well, you can't have him without an invitation. And you can't have the forgiveness of sins without confessing them. And you can't have a lighthearted sense of innocence and the absence of anxiety without accepting his death, burial, and resurrection on your behalf. He's done everything you need upriver for you to have peace today and cross over into eternity. If you never accepted him, even if you spent a lot of your life mocking him, he forgave that too. Does anyone here need to accept him, begin a new life in him, have your sins forgiven, and receive eternal life? Raise your hand so I can see. I want to pray for you. Anyone here today needs to accept this Lord, this Prince of Peace? Okay. I want you to listen to the words of this song. Think of yourself sitting by a river. He whose mind is steadfast upon the Lord has perfect peace. Listen to this song as we sing. Orient your heart towards the dandler this morning.